This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And thank you very much for tuning in to the Fantasy Lowdown radio show here on Patriots.com radio. My name is Brian Lowe. We are entering week 8 of the NFL season, or as I like to call it, week 1 of the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis era. And yes, I'm talking about fantasy football here. The Ben Jarvis Green Ellis era has begun. All right, we will get into that. The Patriots running back situation, a hot topic each and every week, but especially this week when one of the great names, I think, in NFL history, may get the bulk of the load entering a game in just an unbelievable set of circumstances. We will definitely get into that. I'm not completely kidding there, by the way. But it definitely is week 8 of the season, and it's actually the halfway point of your standard fantasy football season if you go through 14 regular season weeks. So hopefully you're still in contention in your league, and hopefully, you know, if you aren't still in contention, maybe you're in a keeper league and you have an opportunity to, you know, sort of set the stage for next year, but it's still too early to think in those terms. Everybody's still alive, right? Raise your hand if you're not. All right, good. You're still alive. Great. I am in my two leagues very much alive. One of them, I'm in second place. Another one, I'm close to the middle of the pack, but not too bad nonetheless. We're going to get into a lot of topics. I have a long list right here of topics I want to get to on the Fantasy Lowdown radio show, but we definitely want to hear from you. As always, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Send us your questions, who to start, who to sit, and anything else that you might have in mind when it comes to fantasy football. Vent if you need to about some of the picks you made. Vent if you need to about some of the suggestions I made, because as most of you know, if you've been listening, you know, I'm not going to say I have a great track record, but, you know, hey, I take a stab at it, and hey, who among us really does know for sure what's going to happen week in, week out, especially this year. It's absolutely stunning how teams and players can change the perception that they have, that fantasy owners have of them each and every week. But we'll do our best. It's all we're just trying to have fun and help you out, give yourselves a forum to discuss fantasy football if you follow the Patriots and follow the radio lineup here on Patriots.com. Also, you can call in 508-543-7482. We've got a couple emails already in the inbox, and we're going to get to those pretty soon, and take your thoughts and talk about who's hot, who's not in fantasy football. We generally like to kick things off with a quick look back at the previous week and who some of the top stars were at each position, and hopefully you had some of these guys. And you know, we started quarterback. Just see here, you know, and right here in our own backyard, Matt Cassel was AFC Player of the Week. He had one of his better performances, probably his best performance to date, with a trio of touchdowns, the first time he's done that in his career. And he was actually, believe it or not, the only NFL quarterback this past week to have three touchdown passes in a game. He did that without throwing an interception. So Matt Cassel, from a fantasy football perspective, as long as if sacks don't count in your league, then you were definitely happy with Matt Cassel. And bunch of quarterbacks had two touchdown passes. Kyle Orton threw two without an interception. Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Schaub, Jake Delhomme. And then you've got Gus Frerotte, who threw two touchdown passes for Minnesota, but four interceptions in a loss to Chicago. Boy, if that doesn't balance itself out, I don't know what does. Phillip Rivers with a pair of touchdown passes as well, and as far as 300-yard games, Jeff Garcia, 310 yards passing and a touchdown. He was the high yardage guy on the day, and a bunch of other upper 200s. Chad Pennington, 295 yards, touchdown, and a pick. Dan Orlovsky, an interesting one that we'll get to, 265 yards on the day, but it was, on the whole, a fairly miserable performance for Orlovsky and the Lions, helped out just by a 96-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Johnson. Hey, it counts. I'm not going to say it doesn't count, but on the whole, you know, not looking too good for Orlovsky. Looking at running backs, some massive performances. I mean, this is what we're talking about. I think some of the better performances all season came in week 7. Steven Jackson at the head of the column there, 160 yards and 3 touchdowns. I think the Patriots' run defense has their work cut out for them this week. They got Steven Jackson coming to town. Steven Jackson really, now he is questionable, keep in mind. That's certainly one thing to monitor, but I'll tell you what, for week 7, he was the lead guy. Lendale White right there with him, 3 touchdowns, 149 yards, and then a handful of guys had 100-plus yards and 2 touchdowns. Mueldi Moore stepping in Pittsburgh. Adrian Peterson, of course, we know what he can do with Minnesota. Chris Johnson with Tennessee, 168 yards. Clinton Portis, 175. Then you had Thomas Jones of the Jets, 159 yards. He did not reach the end zone, and a bunch of other running backs reached the end zone once, including Sammy Morris, and we'll get to him. He had a career-high rushing yardage day on Monday night and then goes down with an injury. So really, the emotions running wild. If you have Sammy Morris, you really were thrilled with that first-half performance, and then, hey, where are you? Where'd he go? Nowhere to be found in the second half. Okay, at wide receiver, a couple more really big games led by Calvin Johnson. He only had 2 catches, but when one of them is a 96-yard touchdown, that really makes all the difference, 154 yards and a touchdown for him. Steve Smith of Carolina, just one of the better consistent performers at wide receiver, 122 yards and a catch. Antonio Bryant with 115 yards and a catch. Andre Johnson led the way as far as 100-yard receivers who didn't reach the end zone. He had 141. And then right here in our backyard, Randy Moss, a pair of touchdown receptions, only 69 yards. But, hey, you get 2 touchdowns on the day, we'll take 2 yards and 2 touchdowns if your league goes by touchdown number of points per touchdown. At tight end, Owen Daniels, a pair of touchdowns for Houston against Detroit, 66 yards on the day. The high yardage guy at tight end, 97 yards, Tony Gonzalez of the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a quick look back at week number 7 and week number 8 on the docket. We got a full slate of games, of course. Still some bye weeks. We only have 3 more weeks, I believe, of bye weeks. So you can settle back into knowing that your full roster, at least as long as you guys are healthy, will play. That's very important on a bye this week. Chicago, Denver, Green Bay, and Minnesota. So a little bit of a NFC North feel to it. If you have an NFC North team, a player from an NFC North team other than Detroit, you're looking at a bye, and then Denver as well. And a very interesting Monday night game coming up, Indianapolis at Tennessee. We'll talk about that one. And right here, St. Louis at New England has obviously many fantasy storylines as well. We'll talk about that. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's where you can send an email to me, and we'll talk about it right here on the air. We're here every Thursday from 4 to 5 and then broadcast again from 9 to 10 here on Patriots.com. And you can also check out the Fantasy Lowdown segment on Patriots Today, which is our daily show here on Patriots.com every Thursday. I've got a little Fantasy Lowdown segment as well, and you can check that out. A couple of storylines and a couple of sort of topics that I want to get to. It certainly has struck me how many running back replacements you can kind of find on the waiver wire. And I was sort of joking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis when we kicked off the show a few minutes ago. He steps in for Sammy Morris down in the second half on Monday night. And, the game was, I wouldn't say it was out of hand at the start of the second half, but it quickly got that way. And, if it was a much closer game, maybe Kevin Faulk would have been even more involved than he was, or even you give Heath Evans a chance. But Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, undrafted rookie out of Mississippi, gets a shot. And with the game being on Monday night, you immediately, the team turns its attention to the upcoming game. So all of a sudden it's Tuesday, which is the player day off. And then, before you know it, it's Wednesday, the first day of the week, as far as NFL teams are concerned, where you get down and dirty at practice and look ahead to the upcoming game. And as of right now, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Kevin Faulk, and Heath Evans are the 3 running backs on the Patriots roster. It was a position at training camp that was had quite a bit of depth, probably more than any other position. And it's a position where the Patriots have in the past, jumped into the scrap heap and found a guy off of the waiver wire. I'm thinking about Heath Evans and even Amos Zeroway a couple years ago jump in. And on a team with an offense like this, especially when Tom Brady was around, hey, if a guy's going to jump in even for one game, that's certainly a possibility for fantasy from a fantasy point of view. So going into this game against St. Louis, as of right now, it looks like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis might be the guy. Heath Evans has had his moments in the past, including right when they signed him in 2005, his first couple of games. He was the lead back filling in for an injured Corey Dillon, really, and did okay as far as yardage goes. And, maybe he gets more of a chance You know that Kevin Faulk, as long as he's healthy, which he is right now, is going to get his touches probably somewhere in the 6 to 8 range on a normal day, maybe more like 10 to 12 if they don't have a lead back. But, you know, Sammy Morris, not seen it practice yet this week. Lamont Jordan, not seen it practice yet this week. They haven't picked anyone up off the waiver wire. So you've got to figure Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is a guy to consider if you need a backup and a replacement for your fantasy week this week. It's still sort of I'll believe it when I see it, just because it's so improbable for a guy who is an undrafted free agent on a team that had so much depth at running back to be, maybe a running back starter. But, hey, you know, it could happen. Will he be successful? Hard to say. St. Louis has a very poor, very poor run defense, even in these last couple of weeks where they've won games against Washington and Dallas. They've still given up a ton of rushing yardage, and, I have to figure that they're going to give up a lot of rushing yardage this Sunday against the Patriots, regardless of who carries the ball. Do you pick up Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis today and monitor the situation till Sunday morning? Do you plug him right into a starting role? I mean, I'd hesitate to do that, but you've got to keep an eye on this kid. And you know, from what he's shown so far, it seems like maybe he could play. Now, no team picked him up in the draft. I can't imagine all 32 teams, missed on him. But, hey, stranger things have happened. And you look at last year, even at this point last year, I think we still didn't really even know who Ryan Grant was. He was a guy who was on the Giants practice squad at the beginning of last year, gets picked up by Green Bay, and ends the season as really a first-round draft pick in most fantasy leagues this year. So could Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis be that guy? I don't think so, but worth picking him up. And, Sammy Morris, it's too bad because he really showed that he could be a stud fantasy performer based on what he did the other day, just hours after Lawrence Maroney officially goes out for the year. So keep an eye on Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. But he's just the most interesting guy, certainly from a Patriots perspective. A few other guys that, at the running back position who stepped right in. Mawelde Moore, he's a veteran. He's been around for a couple years, Minnesota as well. He jumps in Pittsburgh with Willie Parker and Rashard Mendenhall both out, and he has a monster game. How about Dominic Rhodes? Dominic Rhodes for Indianapolis, another veteran. It's not like you have to worry about a rookie learning the playbook here. Dominic Rhodes steps in for Joseph Addai and has two touchdown runs, 60, 70-something yards for Indianapolis. And then you're even looking at a guy like Cedric Benson with Cincinnati getting a chance. Basically, as far as I'm concerned at this point, you could do far worse, especially when there's still bye weeks going on in the NFL, than finding the guy who's going to be the starting running back or projected to get the most carries for a certain team and go with him. Honestly, I even think Colby Smith might be a guy you'd want to consider. You never know. Maybe he gets a couple extra carries. Larry Johnson's going to be out again. I mentioned Cedric Benson. There's guys out there at running back. If you find out, if you do your homework and you find out that a guy is going to get more carries because another player is hurt or suspended in the case of the Kansas City Chiefs, running back is a position you look at. As far as quarterback, I think it's not quite the same. And there's definitely been some quarterback replacements who have not performed really well. I'm talking about Seneca Wallace, talking about Dan Orlovsky, talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. They've had their moments, but do you really want to rely on these guys? Sometimes you have to. A lot of quarterbacks have gone down. If you're in a league that is deep at quarterback, or maybe you're in a league where you start two quarterbacks, I don't know, you may have to consider some of these guys. And hey, we mentioned Orlovsky. He had a 96-yard touchdown pass in the second half the other day against Houston. And other than that, his numbers were fairly poor. But he gets that in there, and he does well. But, Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't looked all that great. But, he's got some weapons in Cincinnati. That team has been terrible. But, you never know. I just feel like with running backs, it's a much better risk to take the guy like a Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis than you do at quarterback. So those are a couple of thoughts I had. If you want to respond or if you want to bring up your perspective, webradio@patriots.com. That's the way to find us. A couple of newsworthy items before we take our first break of the day. Tony Romo, we talked about him at length last week, right around the time of our show last week. We find out that, hey, he might actually play this past Sunday with his pinky finger, but we then realize, okay, he's just going to be the backup, and now he basically has said that he's not going to play until mid-November at the earliest. He's out until November, so Brad Johnson, you got to run with him, and he did not perform well against St. Louis the other day, but I guess you never know if he's going to get a better opportunity this week. Larry Johnson, I mentioned, he is not going to be playing. He's suspended by the Kansas City Chiefs, so no LJ this weekend. No Kellen Winslow as well. He He tried to appeal his suspension. It's not going to be heard before this week, so he won't play for Cleveland. Steve Heiden, I guess, is the backup there, and he had only one catch last week, so I wouldn't necessarily rely on him. And then another one that I just saw just a little while ago, Plexico Burress hospitalized with a neck injury. He's a guy who you really just a wild card every week. He's one of the more talented wide receivers, and when he has a big game, you don't have to worry about him. But, you know, it doesn't look like certainly if you're hospitalized on a Thursday, that doesn't really bode well. We do have the Patriots practice participation and injury report that has just been updated since their practice this afternoon. Once again, Sammy Morris did not participate in practice. That's two straight days since the Monday night game with his knee injury. He didn't practice. And also of note at that position, Lamont Jordan didn't practice again today. He was doubtful going into the game on Sunday and didn't play. So really, as we get further and further and further through the week leading up to Sunday, all indications are that Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Kevin Falk, and Heath Evans will be the only three running backs on the Patriots active roster. And, you know, the only pure number one, the only pure running back, first and second down running back as of right now, I guess, is Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. It's a very interesting situation. Now, we also have to note from the St. Louis Rams, Steven Jackson, for the second straight day, did not participate. Very interesting out of St. Louis. He has a thigh injury, so that's very interesting from a fantasy and NFL perspective as we get into Sunday's game between the Patriots and the Rams. This is the Fantasy Lowdown radio show, web radio at patriots.com. If you'd like to check in with your who to start, who to sit, or other thoughts, we will be right back after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar,
the hot nacho bar,
the hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship of the History Books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Thank you.
And we're back here on the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show. We just talked about the injury report from the Patriots and the St. Louis Rams. And as we follow up on the Steven Jackson information, and again, not that he's been ruled out quite yet. We'll see when the St. Louis Rams travel to Foxborough on Saturday. But in case he doesn't play, well, who's behind him on the St. Louis Rams? It's a great question because as you look at the St. Louis Rams stats going through this year, I haven't done this specifically, but I think Steven Jackson has the highest percentage of carries for his team than any other player. It probably has to be. He has 121 of his team's 145 carries. Of those 24 others, six of them are by the quarterback. So it's very interesting. Now, the other guys who you've got to figure are getting the most chances will be Travis Minor, Antonio Pittman, and Ken Darby. So you're saying, well, how much help does that do for me? I got to tell you, I don't like any of those options, and the worst part about it is all indications would be that they'd kind of split them. Not what you're looking for if you're a Steven Jackson owner and you're looking to just, you know, handcuff yourself here or handcuff with Steven Jackson and who'd be behind him going into Sunday's game. So not a great scenario if you're looking to the St. Louis Rams backup running backs to replace Steven Jackson, but that's what we're looking at. Again, I'm not saying that Steven Jackson won't play, but did not participate in practice for the second straight day down in St. Louis. So keep an eye on that one if you own Steven Jackson. Patriots, webradio at patriots.com. That is our email address. As always, send us your emails early and often. We will get to them, and we start right now today with Christine. Here's what she says. Need help with wide receivers. I currently have Vincent Jackson. Not bad. Devery Henderson, Chris Chambers, hurt, and Robert Meacham. Not sure if Chambers is playing, but as an option to Meacham, this is Christine talking, not sure if Chambers is playing, but as an option to Meacham, are the Chargers more likely to go with Malcolm Floyd these days? He's available as a free agent. Also available are Steve Smith of the Giants, Roscoe Parrish of the Bills. Thanks, Christine. Okay, Christine, let's see if we can help you out here. She has Vincent Jackson, like him a lot. Devery Henderson, the best part about him is the quarterback that's throwing to him, but with the Saints they've had all sorts of situations at wide receiver. Marcus Colston being out for a while, Lance Moore in. David Patton had his moments to shine. Meacham as well. Devery Henderson, you know, I think he has some value for sure. Don't know if I want to rely on him week after week. And this week, as the Saints go into London to play San Diego, it's an interesting play right there with the Saints. But Henderson. You could do better. Chris Chambers has been hurt. Now, as you're saying, with your options, instead of Meacham being Malcolm Floyd, Steve Smith, and Roscoe Parrish, I'd sort of go in that order if I was looking for someone. Malcolm Floyd, I think you could do a lot worse. Floyd and Vincent Jackson are the one and two guys, especially with Meacham out. I'm sorry, with Chambers out. Chambers hasn't been ruled out yet this week, but Malcolm Floyd is a guy that you could consider. I like Steve Smith a lot. We're not talking about Steve Smith of Carolina. Obviously, Steve Smith of Carolina, he's not available in any league. Find me the league that he's available in. But Steve Smith of the Giants is definitely a guy to look at, especially if news of Plaxico Burress being hospitalized materializes into him not playing. A guy like Steve Smith, a guy like Dominic Hickson, those are guys you're going to want to look to at the Giants as Eli Manning targets. And as far as Roscoe Parrish, he's just not a high option. Trent Edwards is a good quarterback, and they're finding different guys. But, I wouldn't be too high on him quite yet, and they're going down to Miami. I think that might be a tough place for them to play, or for him to play. Lee Evans has had his moments. I think he could do well, but as far as the Bills wide receivers aside from Evans, I don't think this is the week. I'd probably go with Floyd. I think if you have Floyd and Jackson, I'm not a huge fan of starting two wide receivers from the same team. You just never know if they're going to run into a team that or a defense that has its eyes on the wide receivers that day. But in England against San Diego, against New Orleans, I think that wouldn't be the worst bet. But Steve Smith might vault up on that list, certainly if Plaxico Burress doesn't play. So there you go, Christine. Maybe we helped you out a little bit there. Maybe we didn't. I wish you luck as you wade through that wide receiver decision. Paul in London, England. Now, Paul, I hope, being the football fan that you are, the NFL fan that you are, that maybe you'll take in some action at Wembley Stadium this weekend. Maybe you did as well. Let us know what you thought if you went last year, and we'd love to hear from you if you head in there this weekend. But in the meantime, we'll take your thoughts on your team for this week. You check in every week, and we appreciate it. Big week thanks to my three Patriots and the two running backs last week, for sure, Paul. with Moss and Welker and Morris. Happy with my squad this week, but not enough slots in the team. All right, here's what he's got. At quarterback, Jason Campbell, who he has in bold, Cutler and Brady. Schaub is available as well. Very high on Schaub. Jay Cutler, I wouldn't worry about him yet. He does have that finger injury that certainly affected him the other day against the Patriots. But Campbell's been doing very well. I expect him to be, not a superstar each and every week, but, Schaub I'd look at. At running back, Brandon Jacobs, Chris Johnson. Sammy Morris was his flex. Mwelde Moore and McFadden, you've got good depth there. I like that a lot. Jacobs and Johnson would be your two guys each and every week, I would imagine. But, if you happen to start Mwelde Moore last week, you did okay. And McFadden, not getting it done right now, but hang on to him. Moss, Welker, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jackson. I believe it's Vincent Jackson, though I can't remember. You only have the last name there, Paul. But if you do start three, either way, I think Moss, Welker, Fitzgerald are your guys. At tight end, Cooley and Daniels. Owen Daniels is in the pool. If that means he's available in free agency, he wouldn't be a bad guy to have as some depth in case Chris Cooley, you never know, volatile guy kind of guy, but on the whole, he's one of the top tight end guys. And then at kicker, Steven Gostkowski replacing Prater. Good move. I got to say, Gostkowski's only missed one field goal. I like that. And defense, the Buccaneers, but the Eagles and Patriots and a lot of others are available. Well, you got to go with the matchups there. Tampa Bay this week at Dallas with Brad Johnson running the show. I would go with the Bucs. Patriots against St. Louis. If you can pick them up and Steven Jackson doesn't play, I'd certainly be interested in having the Patriots defense. And as far as the Eagles are concerned, who do they play? Oh, they host Atlanta. Not bad. Atlanta's been much better at home than on the road. So keep that in mind. And Paul says, if I win, I should go top in my head-to-head league. So help is needed. Keep up the great help below. I don't know how much great help I've been, Paul, over the last couple weeks. I try my best, but I don't know so much about that. But we thank you for checking in, Paul, as always. And this isn't an email, but we do have our main man, Dan,
how you doing,
in the studio now. Dan, it's great to actually see you. Last week, didn't get to talk to you. 2 weeks ago, talked by phone. Didn't get to hear your sensational laugh, Dan.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Is this the man?
Dan is a busy guy, and we try to get him in for a couple minutes each week because he is a first-time fantasy football player. Love getting that perspective. How things going? How things been these last couple weeks?
It's been going well. I've had a couple of injuries to some of my players. Reggie Bush getting hurt.
Ooh,
hurt
tough
last
one.
Week. That wasn't very good. Chris Chambers has been banged up a little bit, but some of my quarterbacks are starting to come into their own a little bit. I picked up the New England defense a couple weeks ago. They had a great game last week. So things are looking well.
Turnovers with the Patriots, boy, that was huge. Right. Five turnovers, a couple of interceptions, and they didn't give up a ton of yardage either. I mean, it was a good overall performance. And like I just said, if Steven Jackson doesn't play this weekend, depending on if we find out about that and when, that's a good start.
Yeah, I also have Tennessee's defense.
Dan, you must be dominant.
Well, with them going up against the Colts this week, I think I got to go with New England playing the Rams.
I don't know, Dan.
No?
I don't know, Dan. I mean, here's the thing with Indianapolis. Green Bay dominated them last week and had, two interceptions returned for touchdowns?
Right.
I wouldn't expect that. On the one hand, I think Indianapolis is the kind of team that, almost like the Patriots, after getting embarrassed 1 week, and then they're on the Monday Night Football stage, it's on the road, but they're a team that might come out a little more fired up and get a momentum kind of win. On the other hand, Joseph Addai isn't in there. Their offense has certainly not gotten really on track. They've had some big games, but hasn't really been on track. And Tennessee's defense is just so dominating. I kind of think you got to start Tennessee each week. I could be wrong. I don't know, but
you're the pro here.
Oh yeah, I'm the pro. If New England, if Steven Jackson is 100, he won't be 100%. If Steven Jackson plays, I don't think you start New England D over Tennessee D. I got to be honest.
All right, so I got to
be honest.
My eye on that practice report, huh?
You absolutely do, and if you can monitor it all. Well, now hang on. Here's the dilemma you have is that you got to make your decision by noon on Sunday, even though Tennessee's playing Monday night.
Right.
Boy, that's going to be an interesting one. We'll talk off the air about that one. I'm sure between now and Sunday, Dan. Interesting question there for sure. What else you got over there on your decisions for this week?
Tough quarterback decision coming up.
Yeah.
David Garrard and the Jaguars hosting Cleveland this week.
Yeah.
You got Jeff Garcia at Dallas and Matt Castle playing St. Louis.
Wow, that's an interesting one. And
no great quarterbacks right there, but
no great quarterbacks.
Guys that are, can have a big week any any week.
I think Garrard is an interesting guy, especially this week against Cleveland's D. I kind of think Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be the guy for them this week. I think it's going to be a huge Maurice Jones-Drew game. That doesn't necessarily mean it won't be a big David Garrard game. If I had to go with one of those three, I'm going Garcia. I'm going Garcia. Even though he's the one guy on the road of those three, I think with Castle and I think with the offense overall for the Patriots this week, I think they win the game. I think it's kind of a letdown game in some ways. I think they, you know, maybe struggle offensively a little bit. I don't think Castle's going to throw a lot of picks. I think he might be efficient. I just don't think it's going to be a big numbers game. I think Jeff Garcia is, you know, he's a week-in, week-out guy as far as I'm concerned right now. He's proving. I mean, it's amazing because he starts a year as a starter. Then he gets benched, sort of is injured. Now he's back. I think Dallas is just in free-fall mode. I think he can get a couple of scores there in Dallas. I might go Garcia one of those three and then Castle, Garrard, toss-up. I don't know.
See, my thought was with the New England Patriots running backs being banged up a little bit. You know, Castle might be throwing a little bit more this week. Screen passes, short passes, kind of count as running plays, but he still gets credit for a pass.
Sure. No, you're right about that. I think this could be sort of a Kevin Faulk type day where maybe he's not the lead running back, but he gets maybe 12 to 14 touches, including those screens,
right.
and you hope you get some yardage out of Castle. I just see this being as being one of those quicksand kind of games where, you know, maybe they score 19 points and it's a touchdown and four field goals. That kind of day. I just as bad as St. Louis's defense has been, I just think it's, you know, you think about the Patriots on Monday night. They're dancing around. They're having a great time. Big win, Monday Night Football. Now you have a short week and no travel, really, but a bit of a letdown you can feel. And St. Louis is just high-flying. I think they're going to come out and do okay, and I don't think that's going to bode all that well for the Patriots' skill players offensively.
So you're saying I should pick up Steven Gostkowski?
Who's your kicker? Who's your kicker?
Ryan Longwell. He's got a bye this week. So
oh,
he just picked up Jason Elam for the week.
Yeah, he's a good pickup. I mean, if Gostkowski's available, he's not available.
It was a joke.
Okay. If he's available, though,
I'll look.
Sometimes it goes over my head.
He might be.
I don't. You know, goes over my head. Well, Dan, what? Any other observations? I mean, I was mentioning earlier that running back is just so interesting. How you can get a guy like Mawelde Moore who steps in. You can get a guy like Dominic Rhodes who steps right in. Cedric Benson didn't have a huge game, but Cedric Benson signed a couple weeks ago. Cincinnati. I just feel like running back is a position where if you need a guy, you find a guy. I don't care what team he's on or how good that running team is. It's worth a risk if a guy's going to start.
No, you're absolutely right. I found it so interesting before when you were rattling off some of the numbers that some of the backs put up this week. I mean, huge, huge numbers. With Sammy Morris going for 130-plus yards and a half this week.
Right. And Sammy Morris, when healthy, I mean, he's
a beast.
He's a beast, and he's that number one. He's clearly a guy. But the thing with Sammy Morris is going into the year, it wasn't like Maroney's the number one guy, Morris is the backup. It's kind of like if you go based on how last year was before Morris got hurt and just sort of the feel of how they handle the running backs. You know, maybe Maroney gets more carries, but it's not like it's a 4-to-1 ratio. It's more of a 1.5-to-1 ratio. So, you got to keep an eye on Morris. And I don't know. I'm not too confident about the way this injury is going. But, you know, these running backs, it's amazing every week. I mean, you can get a guy. And I said earlier, Ryan Grant. Week 8 last year, I don't think we yet knew who Ryan Grant was. You just got to do your homework, pretty much on finding these guys.
And to that point a little bit, I thought I was stacked. Running back was one of my strongest positions coming into the season. Marion Barber,
mm-hmm.
Reggie Bush, and Ronnie Brown. And, I had to sit one of those guys each week after Ronnie Brown had that huge game against the Patriots, which I was unfortunately on my bench for.
I remember that one.
You know, I tried to trade him, tried to get someone in return, but you can just pick up anybody now, it seems like, and they can have a big game any week.
And it's interesting when you look at wide receiver, it's so much harder to know who's going to be targeted week in, week out. I mean, running back, it's just a little more, defined. You know, he's going to get the carry, and when the ball's in his hands, then it's up to him. If you've got three or four wide receivers on your NFL team, the quarterback drops back to pass. You know, just don't know who's going to be targeted. And there's very few guys you can really count on. So, you look in the waiver wire wide receiver, and figure like New Orleans is a good example. Marcus Colston is their number one wide receiver. Well, when he goes out in week one, it's not like there's the backup. there's like three or four other wide receivers on the team. Well, well, are they each going to step up a notch and each maybe get two more catches than they would have to take, you know, to take over Colston's eight, for instance? Or is it going to be one guy who gets the Colston load? It's so hard to figure. I think it's just a little easier, you know, with running back.
Very true.
Yeah. You know, so what else as far as you were talking about defense there? We were talking about the Patriots and Tennessee. Tennessee, you got to start each week, I think, even when they're playing, even when they're playing Indy. It's just the way I see it. Where are you in your standings right now?
I'm in one of those cumulative points.
That's
points
right.
League.
That's
so
right.
It's a little annoying. I'm I think in fifth place out of 13 teams. So yeah. I'm not doing too bad. Hanging in there.
And then how do your playoffs work? Is it top?
You know what? I'm not even sure.
You're not even sure. You're a rookie.
I think
rookies rookies aren't supposed to look ahead anyways.
I think the playoffs do the same format as most of the.
Yeah, you
leagues,
get the top four teams.
So that'll start pretty soon. Well, week 11 that starts somewhere.
No,
later than that.
Well, usually, yeah, I think the standard is 14 weeks of the regular season, and then you go two playoff weeks, week 15 and week 16,
gotcha.
And you forget about week 17 because. You know, you'd hate to have, you know, it's more common in week 17 you get a starters who sit. You know, let's say last year, well, last year's a bad example. I was going to say Tom Brady, but we know what they did in week 17. But if you get a, you know, if you've got your stud who you've been riding all year and he's gotten you all the way to the championship game and your championship game is week 17, but his NFL team has nothing to play for and he sits.
Right.
I mean, you know, you never know. It's not fair. So you probably have a little more time, but we're at the halfway point as far as that goes. We're almost at the halfway point of the NFL season. It really is unbelievable. But it's so interesting week in and week out to see what we got. So, hey, Dan, you know, I wish you luck again this week.
Appreciate
what
it.
Other, what any other quick hit stardom or sit-ems?
Nothing really, you know, just going to kind of read some news throughout the rest of the week. It's only Thursday. I have a few more days to make up my mind for certain. So I'll just keep watching the news, watching who's healthy. I got Chris Chambers trying to get healthy and Reggie Brown trying to get healthy. So I'll keep my eye on those guys.
You got your, you know, different sites that you check out each week?
I do. I'm starting to learn which sites are more accurate than others.
Yeah.
But you're the best, B-Lo. I just, whatever you say goes.
But I don't have a site.
Well,
I need a site.
One.
I need a website.
You got a radio show, B-Lo.
I do have a radio show. I do have a radio show that also converts into a podcast. So
you got it all.
Yeah, I mean, I have a radio show. You know, we have our blog on Patriots.com, our game day blog. You know, I could develop that maybe a little bit.
No disrespect to Howard Stern, but you're the king of all media.
I'm
B-Lo.
The king of all media, Dan. Gary, you got that one? You got that one? Okay, great. Well, I'm sure we'll hear that. Rather than hearing about me being the geek, guru, how about king of all radio? I think I like that one better. Dan, you're too kind. That's ridiculous, but you're too kind. All right, thanks for coming on, Dan.
Thanks,
we'll catch up with you again next week after a brief hiatus, Dan. Always like chatting with you, and we'll do so again. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We do still have some more emails to get to, which we will, and 508-543-7482 is our phone number. You can call us as well. We're going to check out some Week 8 projections from some of the websites I like to check out as well, and a few other thoughts as we move on here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship of the History Books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack started just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.
Is this the man?
And welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show. As Dan Tugender said, I am the man. I am the king of all radio.
Is this
he
the man?
Obviously is on something right now. We all know that is not the case. certainly if you've been going by my fantasy football suggestions. But that's what we do here in the Fantasy Lowdown. We talk about fantasy football projections for the upcoming week. And Todd Bergeron emails in at webradio@patriots.com. Good afternoon once again. Pick two running backs, he says. Here are his four that he has to pick two out of. Marion Barber versus Tampa Bay. And here's what he says. Personally, I think he is going to be a bust this week. He's facing the 10th-ranked run D, who I think will stack the box, and dare Brad Johnson to beat them, which he won't. Number two, Chris Johnson versus Indy. And he says, after you suggested Slayton over Johnson last week, he stays in until he gets injured. Sorry about that. Johnson had a monstrous week. Slayton did not. Then Steve Slayton against Cincinnati and Ernest Graham against Dallas. Graham has been relegated to fullback, which means goal line carries. Okay, let's look at these four. Barber, Chris Johnson, Steve Slayton, Ernest Graham. You got to go Barber and Chris Johnson, I think. I'm telling you, Marion Barber, he even had he had 100 yards rushing last week against St. Louis with Dallas down big. I just think Marion Barber is still in that short list of guys who you play, even if they're going up against a tough defense. I sort of do agree with you on your assessment there. He is facing a good run D, and I don't think Brad Johnson's going to do much, but I still think Marion Barber can do enough, whether it be running the ball or receiving the ball. I think you got to start him. Chris Johnson versus Steve Slayton, I really do think is very, very close, and I'd be torn on those two. I've sort of leaned more towards Steve Slayton on the whole this year, mostly because Chris Johnson has given up touchdown carries to Lendale White. Lendale White is the guy that's been getting 2-3 touchdown run games. Chris Johnson has been the guy who, he's gotten some big yardage games thanks to some massive runs. You just don't know which week those games are going to be. Against Indy this week, a poor run defense team, I think, he might have an opportunity here. But Steve Slayton against Cincinnati, I just think Steve Slayton's going to be the more consistent week in, week out guy. I could be wrong there again. Definitely go Barber. Use your gut between Chris Johnson and Steve Slayton. But I might stick with Slayton there. Okay, pick three wide receivers. Here's who Todd has. Lee Evans for Buffalo going against Miami. Vincent Jackson for San Diego going up against New Orleans out in London. Marcus Colston of New Orleans going against San Diego out in London. Here's what Todd says. I wonder if he has knocked enough rust off. Good matchup as San Diego's pass D is terrible. And then Chad Johnson versus Houston. I wonder if Hushman, whatever, will play this week. Okay, if you have to pick three out of those four, there's really no discussion here. Don't even think about Chad Johnson with Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing his way. You've got three pretty good ones. I think you'll do well. Lee Evans, Vincent Jackson, Marcus Colston. I love Lee Evans this week. In 8 career games against Miami, he has 8 touchdowns, including a 3-touchdown game in Miami. I think he's going to have a big day. Trent Edwards has really come into his own. Stick with Lee Evans. And then the all Wembley Stadium wide receiver situation there, Vincent Jackson and Marcus Colston. Colston, he's back at it. He was slowed last week, but I don't see Drew Brees having 2 consecutive poor outings. I'd go with Marcus Colston and take my chances for sure there. And I'm a big fan of Vincent Jackson, the Phillip Rivers Vincent Jackson connection, especially if Chris Chambers is not 100%. I'd definitely go there. Okay, Todd continues on as far as other players who I think will be busts this week. Dominic Rhodes / Joseph Addai if he plays. Indy's O-line hasn't been performing very well at all, and the third-ranked Tennessee D will put the pressure on all day. I kind of agree with you there. I think Dominic Rhodes is going to be the guy again. I don't think Addai is slated to play. And Rhodes had 2 touchdowns, not a lot of yardage last week for Indy against Green Bay, and Green Bay dominated that game. I think it's going to be a tougher one this week against Tennessee on Monday Night Football. We were talking with Dan earlier. I do think Tennessee's defense is still a team to play this week, even though they're going up against Indianapolis. And I think specifically on the run defense, Tennessee is going to do fine. And one other note here from Todd. T.O., as far as a bust this week, T.O., bad QB and bad attitude equals bust. Brad Johnson just won't be able to get him the ball enough before he starts crying on the bench while Tampa Bay runs all over the Dallas D. It is a tough matchup. Brad Johnson did not look good, but I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Terrell Owens picks up a touchdown in this game. Obviously, he's dropping far down wide receiver boards as far as who to start. I mean, he's a guy who's top 3, top 4 every single week when Tony Romo is there. And as I'm looking at rotoworld.com, Greg Rosenthal on his goal line stand, he's got him all the way down to 23, and the reason being the Brad Johnson effect. I'd hesitate to start him, but I wouldn't write him off just yet, Todd. But I think you're in pretty good shape in as far as wide receivers go. So good luck to you right there. Just taking a look here at the goal line stand, Greg Rosenthal. I always like to read his stuff, and his goal line stand comes out early Thursday afternoons, which is perfect timing for us to sort of check on what they have to offer for our show here. Quarterbacks, he's got Drew Brees, number one. Drew Brees going out to Wembley. He's got Marcus Colston back. No Reggie Bush, which is going to hurt that offense, including Bush's number. Including Brees' numbers, but still the number one guy. Donovan McNabb for Philadelphia against Atlanta, number two. Matt Schaub, who I've been very high on for Houston against Cincinnati. That should be another big game. Second straight matchup against a weak defense. He took care of Detroit last week. Phillip Rivers again in that all Wembley matchup at New Orleans, and Jason Campbell. Wow, Jason Campbell skyrocketing up to fifth. They do play Detroit, so you wouldn't expect Jason Campbell to be projected fifth every week, but he is this week going up against Detroit, really just a team in free fall. Brett Favre, Trent Edwards, JT O'Sullivan, Kurt Warner, Ben Roethlisberger round out the top 10 there, and he's got Matt Castle number 12 against St. Louis. I think that's about right. I think middle of the pack makes sense for Matt Castle. Like I like I said earlier, I don't think it's going to be a huge numbers week like it was from the other day. But, you know, I think, you know, the sack totals, that's worrisome. He's keeping the interceptions down, which is good. So I think you could do a lot worse than Matt Castle right there. As far as running backs go, Clinton Portis coming off a huge week against Detroit. I said it last week with Houston going against Detroit. Start everybody you have in the Houston offense. Got to figure the same for Washington. And one guy I have my eye on this week, Antoine Randle-L. I think Antoine Randle-L, who had a big game against Detroit last week, if you're looking for wide receivers on the waiver wire, take a stab at Antoine Randle-L this week for Washington. Marion Barber, number two against Tampa Bay. Frank Gore coming off a dismal performance last week for San Francisco. Goes against Seattle. Should be a big one for him. Brian Westbrook back to health against Atlanta. And Steven Jackson, number five, note being expected to start. Keep an eye on him if he doesn't start, obviously, or if he's slowed. Definitely something to keep an eye on. Chris Johnson, Marshawn Lynch, Steve Slayton, Thomas Jones, and LaDainian Tomlinson round out the top five on Greg Rosenthal's list of running backs. Wide receivers, Steve Smith. No, not the Giants guy. The Carolina guy, of course. Number one going against Arizona, Andre Johnson against Cincinnati, Lee Evans against Miami, Larry Fitzgerald against Carolina, and Santana Moss against Detroit. Burris, Wayne, Randy Moss, Roddy White, Marcus Colston round out the top 10 there. And if you're a Patriots guy, Wes Welker is 17th. So definitely you got some of your top guys still there. I mentioned earlier Lee Evans is a guy I think is going to have a massive week for Buffalo down there in Miami. As far as tight ends, Jason Witten, you know, he's number one, and he's a guy who still should be able to get his stats going. Even with Brad Johnson there, you kind of look at tight ends when you've got a backup quarterback. So keep Jason Witten in your lineup. Chris Cooley, again, another Washington guy in the top five. No surprise there. Antonio Gates, Owen Daniels, and Tony Gonzalez are the top five. And then you got Shockey, Dallas Clark, Todd Heap, Vernon Davis, and Anthony Fasano in the top 10. And Benjamin Watson is listed as 14th. I mentioned earlier Kellen Winslow is not going to play. Steve Heiden, who is questionable, is listed at 19 on Greg Rosenthal's list. As far as defenses are concerned, some pretty good ones, some pretty good options. Baltimore Ravens against Oakland, number one. Eagles against Atlanta, number two. Not sure if I fully agree on that one. Atlanta hasn't been the same on the road as they've been at home, but I do think Matt Ryan might be for real, and Michael Turner doing well as well. I'm not sure if I agree on the Eagles being number two, but the Buccaneers third against Dallas, got to agree there. Tennessee fourth, and the Giants defense fifth against Pittsburgh. Steelers, Jets, Bills, Redskins, and the New England Patriots round out the top 10. Also very interesting, checked out Michael Fabiano on NFL.com, their fantasy expert. His start of the week is Thomas Jones of the Jets, coming off a huge week, going up against Kansas City this time around. Kansas City with a terrible run defense, really a terrible team overall, but they are last in the NFL in rushing yards per game. I agree. Thomas Jones, as Fabiano says, Jones' matchup this week couldn't be more favorable as he faces a Kansas City defense that ranks dead last in the NFL against the run. They've allowed an average of 195.5 rushing yards per game, just atrocious, with five rushing touchdowns in their past two road games. So Thomas Jones is definitely a guy to keep in mind. So I found that interesting from Michael Fabiano. A couple of quick hitters from him. Quarterbacks to start. He likes Donovan McNabb and Matt Schaub as his top two this week. And a sleeper alert being Trent Edwards. Well, I don't think Trent Edwards is a sleeper anymore. I think Trent Edwards is becoming a stardom every week kind of guy. At running back, stardom is Chris Johnson. I like Chris Johnson a lot. I still think that Lendale White, the Lendale White factor hurts Chris Johnson, but got to keep in mind. And Fabiano has Sammy Morris as a sleeper alert. Of course, the injury situation is the big question mark there. His stardom wide receivers are Steve Smith of Carolina, Lee Evans of Buffalo. I agree on both. And his sleeper alert, Isaac Bruce against Seattle. The Patriots know what Isaac Bruce can do. He beat him for two touchdowns when the Pats were up in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. So definitely a sleeper right there. And at tight end for stardom, Chris Cooley and Jeremy Shockey. His sleeper is Steve Heiden. I think Steve Heiden's going to get the reps this week. I just don't know if I trust him to be a starting tight end in fantasy. Defenses stardom, Baltimore Ravens, can't go wrong. And a sleeper alert, the Niners against Seattle. Niners D. Now under Mike Singletary's full control, not exactly a defense you definitely would want to start, but against Seattle, the reeling Seattle Seahawks with Seneca Wallace running the show, I think that's a safe bet right there. One other guy who I had in mind this week as a guy to sit is Kurt Warner. And here's why. The Kurt Warner-led Arizona Cardinals going to Carolina. Carolina has had four home games this year. I checked on how many total combined passing touchdowns opposing teams have scored against Carolina at home this year. A grand total of zero. That is becoming the toughest place for a quarterback to play. Drew Brees found that out last week. I think Kurt Warner is going to find that out this week. Nobody has been able to score a passing touchdown against Carolina this year. Keep that in mind if Kurt Warner is your guy. A couple of other quickies here. Kyle Orton has become one of the most has become a consistent fantasy QB. Who would ever have thought of that? I would definitely keep him in mind. Kyle Orton is a guy to keep in mind this week. As always, I'm sorry, not this week. They have a bye, but Kyle Orton, if he's available, you got to go after him. That's for sure. I want to leave us on one note here from Matthew Berry. Always an enjoyable read, the talented Mr. Roto. I started the show by talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Want to leave it talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who all of a sudden is owned in, you know, probably 10 to 20% of leagues all around fantasy football. Here's what Matthew Berry says. My mom tells me I was dangerously close to being named Ben Jarvis when I was born. It's a shame they went with the more conventional Matthew, because Ben Jarvis is cool. The BJGE, as I call him, is an important handcuff to Sammy Morris now that Lawrence Maroney is out for the year. My guess is Morris plays, but with the Rams coming to town, even the resurgent Rams, you have to like Green Ellis and Kevin Falk in deeper leagues. And of course, if anything happens to Morris, I'd rather bet on the BJGE than on Lamont Jordan. Well, I have a feeling we're not going to be worrying about Sammy Morris or Lamont Jordan this week. Doesn't, as we mentioned earlier in the show, when the practice report came out, neither one of them practiced or has practiced really at all this week. So Ben Jarvis Green Ellis very well could be the guy. This is the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show. We're here each and every Thursday. We love hearing from you. We thank everybody who emailed in this week at webradio@patriots.com. You can email in to the inbox anytime during the week. We'll get to your emails on Thursdays from 4 to 5. And if you have trouble hearing us from 4 to 5, check it out at from 9 to 10. We also have the Fantasy Lowdown segment on Patriots Today. We encourage you to check that out. Patriots Today every day on Patriots.com, and a fantasy segment every Thursday. And in Patriots Football Weekly as well, a monthly Fantasy Lowdown column. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. Good luck in your fantasy week this week, and we'll see you next time.